702 Weekend Breakfast. Live. Online.
The 702 app. DSTV Channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Let's bring in our resident motoring enthusiast, Kumbi Machakazi, and you know, I'm sure you do, that you can call him at any stage and ask him about anything about your car, what's going right and what is going wrong. Very good morning to you.
Morning, Jane. How are you doing?
Very good. And you?
Well, thank you.
So this EU ban
on
cars, tell us what it means for the future of driving.
Yeah, so essentially we are heading into an all-electric future. I think it's been on the cards, obviously, over the past few years. We knew that it was coming, and now officially the EU says, you know what, 2035, no more internal combustion engine cars. They're trying to obviously limit the emissions and all that. But it's such a drastic measure, obviously, in terms of what happens with the rest of the world, because we are still fairly dependent on internal combustion engine cars. If you think about it, our country's not anywhere close to being ready for all electric, for an all electric future. And 2035, Jane, is just, if you think about it, it's just tomorrow. So, yeah.
I know. So how feasible is it over there, their moves? I mean, what sort of timeline do you see playing out, and what are we going to be looking at?
So essentially, in terms of the EU, it's very feasible for them because of the infrastructure, electric infrastructure for them is 100% ready.
The desire.
So they are completely ready for that. Whereas the other thing that worries me now, especially being South African, is that we've got about three or four vehicle manufacturers in South Africa who actually produce internal combustion engine cars. You've got the likes of VW, you've got the likes of Mercedes-Benz, Ford, and Ford has just done a massive ramp now in terms of, you know, building their Ford Rangers that they're exporting. So now what happens to that? And all the people who are employed in all those companies right in South Africa who are working at those plants. So you've got people working at a VW Polo plant in Kariga, and now it's saying, geez, we might not, all the cars you're making now, the EU is saying we're not going to take those cars anymore.
And that's a pretty big block to lose.
Exactly. That's a huge chunk of revenue that's going to be cut out. So what happens to that? So it's unfortunately, it's going to happen. We've always known that it's going to happen. I think the adoption in South Africa has just been a bit slow. And I mean, obviously, we know why. There's just a whole lot of things. I mean, currently on what, stage one, stage three, or whatever it is right now. You know, so the government just doesn't doing us a favor in terms of the taxes that comes within electric cars being imported in South Africa. We do know there are brands in South Africa who do bring in all these electric cars, but electric cars right now are still a niche product, Jane. It's ridiculous. The cheapest electric car is a Mini Cooper SE, which is a three-seater, and it comes in at just over 700,000 rand. With, you know, a family SUV coming in at over 2 million rand.
Wow.
So that's still, only just for the top 1 or 2% that can afford those cars, and that obviously can afford not to be on the grid. And for them, it's just like, I will get an electric car because for me, I've got the support on my own at home. I'm able to do this. But when you think about rolling it out to the entire South Africa, that for me is, I'm worried about it. And sure, the EU has approved it. 2035 is happening. And obviously, they've started obviously cutting down really and now they're saying, you know what, sure, right now it must be obviously all cars, but vans as well are now starting to obviously take that approach. So it's quite,
And obviously, it would be fantastic for our society if we get our heads around and get it right because of the exorbitant cost of petrol and diesel.
Yeah.
I mean, I had the luck of going to London at the end of last year. Mm. And that's when you really see how far behind we are, how many electric vehicles there are.
Yep.
Everybody's driving them.
Yep. Yeah, I know. I think when you travel abroad, that's when you really notice that, gee whiz, we are way behind in terms of just infrastructure, in terms of EVs. We're way behind. I mean, the fact that you need to still plan your route in terms of where you need to charge. I mean, when I'm testing out electric cars, it's a nightmare for me, right? It's not supposed to be a nightmare because you're supposed to essentially plan your life. I mean, even when right now in terms of load shedding, I have to plan for my cell phone. Right, I need to make sure that I'm charged up. So that's essentially the same thing as we're supposed to do with our EVs. But I don't think we even need to be doing that because you just need to wake up and know that I can drive from here to Johannesburg or Polokwane with no hassle. But right now, driving from Johannesburg to Polokwane is, you need to, I think the next charging station from Johannesburg to Polokwane is, I think, essentially in Polokwane. That's 3 hours away. And most of these cars, the range is not even that sufficient.
So there could still be traffic and traffic lights that don't work.
Yep.
There's quite so stressful.
Many, so many other factors involved, right, that we don't think about. But that is happening. The EU has said, listen, 2035, there's a massive cut. So, yeah.
All right. The Audi RS3 sedan. And by the way, I mentioned it a little earlier. If you've got any comments to make about the move, these laws coming out from the EU aiming to speed up the switch to electric cars by 2035, do get in touch with us. But let's talk about the new Audi RS3 sedan. Yeah.
So how funny is this? We just come from saying 2035. No more internal combustion cars. And then I spend a week in an internal combustion car, an award-winning, you know, engine, a 2.5 liter, you know, that's loved by everybody. I think the Audi RS3 is, it's a huge, it's got a huge, it's a cult, you know, a lot of people love that car, you know, from all the generations. And now Audi, it's just a hot hatch, you know what I mean? The engine, it's an award-winning engine, 2.5 liter, five-cylinder engine, pushing at 294 kilowatts and 500 newton meters of torque. It's gorgeous looking. I'm not sure if you've seen the images, but when I drove this car on test, I had this car for a week, Jane, and everywhere I went, it's just a thing. Like, everybody expects you to do something. Rev up the car, just do something. You know what I mean? So I drove that car. I think Audi has came in now and said, this is it. This is it. And obviously now, like, the EU has said, obviously, no more internal combustion cars. So essentially, this is the last, you know, petrol-powered Audi RS3. Probably the next one now is obviously going to be fully, not probably, the next one is probably going to be, is fully
is
electric.
Going to be full. And what a way to go out.
What a way to go out, exactly. And it's beautiful. It's got the carbon fiber bits all over the car, the carbon fiber mirrors. It goes, it's the Nappa leather seats. It's a comfortable place to be in. So I had the sedan, which is, for me, I think that's the best one to have over the Sportback, because you've got this massive boot. It looks good. You've got carbon ceramic brakes. And I thought, geez, when Audi gave me this test unit, I'm thinking it's got carbon ceramics and it's probably going to be jerky, but that's the perfect shear stopping power you need, especially for a car like that. It's got a lot of power, 0 to 100 in just under 4 seconds. So you can imagine just how quick that car is. I mean, it was a bit tight on my pocket as well that week because I went through that fuel quite a lot.
Did.
Yeah. But it's just a really nice car. I think as much as it's a lovely car overall, the problem for me is that there are places inside the cabin that they've tried to, you know, to skimp out on. You know, I drive a 2013 Polo GTI, and I've got this funny indicator stalks and, you know, cruise control stalks, which you can see were like an afterthought, like, oh my God, we forgot to do this. Let's quickly add it on. And that's the same things that are in that car. And for a car for 1.3 million rand, there's certain things that should not be skimmed out on. The quality should be impeccable throughout. And obviously in interior, yes, they do have, you know, it's a great place to be in. The seats are comfortable, heated seats, cool seats, everything that you can think of. The digital display is amazing. Displays amazing information to the driver and also passenger. But I just think that for me was such a downside. Having those cheap indicator stalks and, you know, the cruise control stalks where you still need to look where you're going instead of just having it on your, you know, multifunctional steering wheel, that for me didn't cut it. Otherwise, though, it's an amazing vehicle and I had a time of my life in it.
And we've had to wait for it, haven't we?
Definitely. We've had to wait quite a number of years, obviously post its launch in Europe. But I think it was because obviously COVID came into place. There was the semiconductor chip shortage that was happening in the world that delayed everything. I mean, right now, its sister car, the Golf R, still has not been launched in South Africa because of all those issues. So I think when Audi South Africa essentially brought it to South Africa, people were extremely happy. I mean, they brought in 140 units, Jane, and all of them were sold out. So that just tells you just the history of the car and just how much people really love the car. So it's a loved car.
COVID was good for many.
COVID was good for many.
Car sales have been booming.
Yeah.
And what about the BMW, the Merc that are also coming out similar time? I mean, how does it compare?
So in terms of, this lines out perfectly. I just been now spent the past 2 weeks with Mercedes-Benz and BMW, and it's essentially sampling a direct competitor of the Audi RS3. Mercedes are coming with their C43, which comes in at 1.6 million rand, which is something that's still very shocking to me, considering that the C43 is locally assembled. And then you've got the BMW M340i, which is imported, obviously brought into South Africa, which is also just a facelift that came through. Same, essentially looping around the same power, you know, figures, where you see Audi RS3 294 kilowatts, Mercedes C43 300 kilowatts, and then the M340i coming at 285 kilowatts. And obviously now the Audi RS3 is that essentially the cheapest, coming at 1.3 million, followed by the M340i also at 1.3 million. So Audi have made sure that it's right on the heels of those cars. I drove essentially all those three cars back to back. And I still think that the Audi RS3 is such a fanboy car. And I think it, or where you are in your life, you know, I think early 20s or mid 20s, and you want to make a point, you know, coming from your Golf GTI and you need to jump into an RS3. It's going to be such a seamless experience, and people are going to love it. So I think Audi has made sure that it's competitive, and they're making sure that this car, obviously, is the last hurrah. So they need to make sure that, you know, it packs a punch. But I'm overly impressed with the car, Jane.
Okay, we're going to have a wee break, but afterwards we're going to be talking about the 2023 Suzuki Espresso. It's just been given a bit of a nip tuck.
More about 702, go to 702.co.za.
And give us a call. Why don't you? We're talking about cars. And I know, I mean, cars, it's a never-ending joy on one side, one angle, and problem. There's so many breakdowns. If you hit a pothole, something that happens to the clutch. Anyway, if you've got any queries that you want to put to our motoring enthusiast, Kumbi, give us a call, and the phone line is 011-883-0702. You can also WhatsApp us at 072-702-1702. But right now, Kumbi, we're talking about the 2023 Suzuki Espresso. Yeah. I like that name.
Yeah, so, geez, this car has gotten so many flack over the past years, you know.
Why?
It came in South Africa, only one airbag. So it was just, you know, the little car, you know, Suzuki made this car obviously for a certain target. They had a target in mind, saying, listen, there are probably those people who wake up early in the morning, travel a distance. They spend probably over 3,000 or 4,000 rand on taxi or whatever it is. Let's come in with this car, you know, and it will probably be like, you know, 2,000 rand a month, including insurance, that type of cars. So unfortunately, because of that, obviously there's a lot of stuff that you miss out on. Safety was the number one thing, and
which you would think,
yeah, we should priority, right? Mm. But I mean, you know, running a business, but it got such a lot of flack in terms of what it was, and you know, a lot of people were in accidents with these cars because they just didn't understand the type of car that you're driving, and that's an important thing because you need to know what car you're driving and how you should drive it. But now, late last year, we flew down to Cape Town, and Suzuki said, listen, this is we've given this baby in a nip and tuck. It's gone to, you know, it's a surgery. We've now given you a little bit of more safety now. You've got ESP standard. You've got EBD standard. You've got, you know, more airbags now, dual airbags now. And, you know, still under that cheap price of under 200,000 rand. And, you know, they took the engine that was now in the Celerio. So I've spent now the past month driving this Suzuki Celerio. And you know what? I'm not as mad as I was before because, firstly, it's a fuel saver. I spend 300 rand and that thing is full, first of all.
Oh.
That's my airport run car.
Wow.
It's my airport run car. And I will go to the airport and back with no hassles. And because I know exactly what car I'm driving, I know that I cannot speed. I cannot go over 100 kilometers an hour because it's not the type of car. Mm. And once you have that mindset, you will not have any issues in your life.
But that's quite important, isn't it? I mean, that you say, okay, you're going to buy this car. It's going to save you fuel.
Yep.
All of that, yeah. You know, little nippy thing.
Exactly.
But
you please know safe. The limits. Drive safe. Mm. And I'm very impressed, you know, and I'm in the 5-speed manual, the only variant that I actually want people to get, because there's an automated manual transmission, automatic 4-speed automatic thingy. But I wouldn't suggest you get that because you're going to get so frustrated. Because obviously there's not enough power. Only 49 kilowatts and about 18 newton meters of torque. So it's not that it's not the RS3 that we spoke of earlier. You know what I mean? So
you can't zip across the road.
No, no. You need to know your limits. So the 5-speed manual, it's a smooth transmission that's in that car. Essentially the same power plant that was in the Suzuki Celerio. And if people have been following the journey, I think throughout last year I was driving a Suzuki Celerio and I raved about this car. I mean, I got a lot of calls, people telling me, no, why? Like, what is it about this car? And that 5-speed manual transmission, for me, that is the one to have. And it just literally ties back to what Suzuki is doing right in the market. I mean, right now they're hot on the heels of Polo, a VW brand. And we know the VW brand essentially was, you know, the number one passenger brand. And now Suzuki is saying, nope, not a chance.
We're going to take you on. Do you think they'll be able to?
No, I mean, they're doing quite a lot. I mean, for you to move over 4,000 units a month.
Wow.
In the passenger market in South Africa, because South Africans are very loyal in terms of what they have. Hence, the VW brand and the Toyota brands have been thriving in our market, right? So now for Suzuki to come and take a piece of that pie. I mean, I can't imagine the nightmares that happens within the VW boardrooms. You know what I mean? So that for me has been something that's been extremely fun to watch. And we've got quite a lot of number of cars that are under the 200,000 rand budget cap.
Tell us about those. Oh, firstly, and what about the airbag? Are there two now?
Oh, yeah. So we've got dual airbags. You've got dual airbags in the Espresso now. So they've, you know, updated it and still kept it at a cheaper price. You've got now 14-inch alloy wheels, which I think look nicer than, obviously, the wheel caps that were on the pre-facelift model. You've got a nice touch infotainment touchscreen inside the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Most cars actually offer that as an option. And within these big brands, big German brands, they'll say, no, it's an option. You've got USB, you have two USB ports in the car. So it's the little things. You've got Bluetooth. You know what I mean? So, this is coming in at 179,000 rand. I stand to be corrected. But under 200,000 rand. So that, for me, it's a bargain, right? And people right now, Jane, for me, spending 3,000 rand on taxis, and you know, we know the condition of our taxis in South Africa, and sometimes you just want, you know, to move. I want to go and see my girlfriend, you know? So let me just buy this little car, and then, you know, I'm able to do that. So I think they've made sure that it comes in just at the right price and the safety. I think that's the one thing they wanted to emphasize on this facelift, is that, listen, guys, we can give you all that, but we've upped our safety.
And you'll be safe.
Yeah.
There are a couple of comments, and I assume it's when you're talking about the Audi, that you don't give the kilometers of the car that you're reporting on, I guess the mileage when it comes to that and petrol, and actually how much, and somebody was saying that you'd say it'll be great for somebody in their mid to late 20s, and he said that the car costs almost 1.3 million, and that if anyone takes time to calculate, that probably costs you about 25,000 a month, excluding insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
hefty.
It's a hefty premium to pay. To be honest with you, Jane, performance cars in South Africa are a problem right now.
Mm.
And for 1.3 million is essentially what you're starting with. Especially for an Audi RS3, I think they've kept it at such an amazing price. Because cars, I mentioned its competitor, the C43, which is 1.6 million rand. 1.6 million rand for a car that has 6 extra kilowatts than the Audi RS3 and the same newton meters of torque for me. That was just for me. It's like a slap in the face, because that car is locally made. So it's locally assembled. So you'd think that, you know, we'd get some sort of buyback or something, you know, some incentive as South Africans. And in terms of the fuel in kilometers, so in terms of one tank, I got about 650 kilometers on the Audi RS3. So you still do get, if you drive reasonably, you will obviously get that 650 kilometers. But obviously I was just being a hooligan, because I mean, I'm in an Audi RS3 and it's not every day that I have it. Responsible hooligan.
And the thing is, they know that they can get that price, right?
Definitely.
I mean, our politicians like to drive the big white Mercs.
Exactly.
So they'll pay that. Let's go back to the cars for the rest of us. Under 200,000, you said there are quite a few more out there. What's making headways there?
Yeah, so you've got the Suzuki Ignis, you've got the Suzuki Celerio, you've got the Suzuki Swift. Those are all cars, and Suzuki Espresso. So I've mentioned all four cars right now. Those are all under 200,000 rand at one brand. So you can imagine, that's why I'm saying they're taking over an entire market. Because right now, a lot of people want that sub-200,000 rand car, or maybe maximum 250,000 rand, because that's what you can afford. So hence, Suzuki are coming at everybody's heels right now and essentially making that money.
And I guess the problem with that, I mean, lovely in sales, for sales, but definitely more cars on the road.
More cars on the road, yeah. But that's where you think about it. If people can only afford, as you read now, the person is complaining of 1.3 million for the Audi RS3, right? And that's a performance beast. Imagine like we mentioned earlier in the show, the EQ, the electric range that's coming. And there's nothing you can't get anything decent in terms of even power and electric range for 1.3 million rand.
Mm.
So that is something. I'm going to be starting an all-electric journey going into March and April, testing out all the electric cars that are available in our market, especially from the Mercedes-Benz brand. But 1.3 million is just you to get started into that. And you only get about 300 kilometers on a single charge. So that is quite worrisome. So, I mean, do you go 1.3 million on an electric car with 300 kilometers, or do you go 1.3 million on an Audi RS3 and you can get 650 kilometers of fuel?
Should we leave that there with that question hanging in there,
and
we can all ponder
ponder that.
Kumbi, so good to have you with us. Thanks very much for coming.
Thank you for having me, Jane.